Hey, you want that to go?
Oh, yeah, some takeouts now on stories we think you ought to be on top of this week. We'll begin with the business correspondent Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And we've heard this logic from you quite a lot. If we bailed out the banks, then we ought to be able to regulate the pay.
Right.
Perfect logic there of the compensation of the bank executives, right?
Right.
Well, Ken Feinberg, the pay czar, Obama's the fellow who actually comes up with the math to shrink the paychecks of some of these bankers, going to be on Capitol Hill. What are they going to be testing him on?
Well, one of the interesting things they released his testimony last night is he's going to say that he does not want his powers expanded, that he thinks the federal government should not enter the business of micromanaging compensation at other banks, which is sort of interesting. You know, in Washington, people are always trying to grab more power, and he's saying, I've got enough to do with these seven. Don't give me more.
So he's saying limit it to the seven.
Yep.
And don't, you know, spread it out widely.
And the other thing he's saying, which struck me as a little hopeful, was he says that he thinks that other companies may just voluntarily look at what he's done as guidance. Huh. And he says, I hope they'll look at this as a model. And, you know, on Wall Street, workers want to make as much as they can. And I kind of doubt that other banks are going to look at these reductions he's made in pay at Citigroup and Bank of America and emulate that if they don't have to.
Is there an argument to be made here? And I'm sort of derailing you a little bit, but don't be worried. you know, that all banks benefit from the fact that the Fed is keeping interest rates low. So the spread on lending is huge. And Goldman, okay, maybe they don't get any Fed money, but they're benefiting from this policy.
Absolutely. All of the banks are benefiting from a vacuum in competition in the market. They're all benefiting also from the assumption that the government may back them if they get in trouble again. So we as taxpayers are implicitly helping even banks that have paid the money back. But one of the things that's very interesting, I went to see Ken Feinberg in his office a few days before he released his decisions, and I was talking with him about how much money is too much on Wall Street. You know, is there a too much? And he said he had determined that one trader at Citigroup, Andrew Hall, who had a $100 million contract, that was too much. He told me he had determined that was excessive risk. And I said, okay, Ken, $100 million, it's too much. Well, what about $80 million? Is $80 million too much? What about $50 million? And there he really demurred and said, I don't know on Wall Street how much is too much. I've never worked on Wall Street. Maybe they earn those millions. And to that I kind of said, well, should someone be thinking about how much is too much, you know?
Well, he's going to get an earful from Congress today,
that's
for sure. Louise Story, finance reporter for our partners, The New York Times.
Now let's go to Washington with our Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Todd, Harry Reid has decided to put the public option in the Senate health reform bill, and that is having effects over in their neighboring body, right?
Yeah, that's right. When he decided to put that public option in there, a lot of House members said, oh, well, maybe this thing is a reality after all. They didn't want to have to vote for something. Many of the people in the House didn't want to have to vote for something that was a tough vote that they thought would never become law, and then they're sort of politically out on a limb. This is Anthony Weiner. He's from New York City. He's a Democrat, and he's on the whipping team. He's responsible for rounding up votes, and he's a strong supporter of the public option. So he's enthusiastic. Listen to this.
Reid was worth 15 votes. You know, maybe more, just of the number of members who were reluctant to commit to something without knowing whether we were going to be running up the hill without any Senate support. So it definitely helped us.
Now, that's the public option, but there are a lot of other issues besides the public option that are going to be really, really important here, especially ones that Democrats care about. Now, for instance, abortion is back. There are as many as 40 Democrats in the House who support the public option. Many of them support health reform, but they are threatening to bring this bill down if the Speaker and the Majority Leader don't put specific language in there banning any use of federal funds or federal policy for abortion. Bart Stupak is a conservative Democrat from Michigan. He's the ringleader of this effort. He supports the health reform bill, but he's big on abortion. He's got 40 members with him. Listen to Stupak yesterday.
They would like to roll the bill out this week. Okay, made that very clear right now. They like to roll it out this week. If you're going to roll it out this week, then I guess the only way you're going to resolve it then is give me an amendment on the floor, because it's not in the bill they're rolling out this week.
What he's saying there is he's demanding a vote on the floor on his amendment. They want to roll this bill out, and they're demanding an abortion vote, and they could bring the bill down over this. Now, I'm not saying health reform is going to fail over abortion, but there's taxes, there's small business, abortion, all this stuff. It's a lot more than the public option that we're going to be watching this week and next.
What else gets inserted or removed from there? Todd Zwillick is the Takeaways Washington correspondent.
All right, a takeout on sports now from Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, and a pitching duel on tap tonight in the opening game of the World Series, weather permitting, between C.C. Sabathia and Cliff Lee of the Phillies. These are former teammates in Cleveland, and they're facing each other.
So for what it's worth, Lee was 4-4 with a 5.02 ERA against the Yankees this year when he was with the Indians. So that's something to think about. And also C.C. Sabathia in the playoffs, he's 3-0 with a 1.19 ERA. Both of these guys have been lights out for their teams going into this round. We know all about the Phillies batters. We all know all about the Yankees batters. So this series could be high-scoring series. What it's going to come down to most likely is the middle relief. The closers, Brad Lidge has been closing like he did last year, and Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
So it really is going to come down to middle relief, and in that sense, the edge is with the Phillies.
But the battle in this first game is huge, and these guys are friends. These guys are close friends.
They were the last two Cy Young Award winners. So it's definitely a classic pitching duel up in the Bronx. And the next game is A.J. Burnett for the Yankees going against none other than Pedro Martinez, who's also been sort of a Yankee killer and a Yankee a nemesis of the Yankees for a long time.
And Pedro used to be a Met, right?
He was a Met. He was a Red Sox.
I mean, but that reminds me. I mean, this series, a lot of the TV executives are saying that a lot of people aren't going to watch it because it's just all on the East Coast. But there's a group of people in New York where this, not only are they not going to watch it, this is torture.
This is a nightmare for Mets fans because they hate the Phillies and they hate the Yankees. I'm saying all the Mets fans out there, give some love to your hometown team.
That's a tough sell.
But on sports radio, they're arguing over whether they should root against the Yankees or root against. These are truly arguments that go on for a long time.
If you root for the NL East perspective, if the Phillies win, then it looks better for their conference. From the perspective of a New York perspective, you know, they're a New York team. So obviously the New York team would win. And on that note, the mayor of Philadelphia, Michael Nutter, and the mayor of Michael Bloomberg in New York City.
Your mayor.
My mayor. The guy. They placed a one-of-a-kind wager on the World Series. The losing mayor will have to travel to the winning city to join the winning mayor in a volunteer service project while wearing a jersey from the winning team.
Humiliating.
And the bad
indeed.
There.
Indeed. The last thing is $15.5 million is generated from each game in New York City for the New York Yankees in each World Series.
All right,
game,
there's an economic benefit. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor, talking about the World Series Game 1 tonight, weather permitting.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.